get into the Word today, and I had them sing that song moving forward because God really started putting something in my spirit about 3 weeks ago, which is really funny that she ends up asking me to preach because I didn't get it. I'd be sleeping in the middle of the night, and I'd hear, "Keep moving forward," and I was like, "All right, I'm sleeping. Like, what was that?" You know, and then I'd be like doing like my housework and kind of complaining about it because my kids like to mess it up as soon as I start it. And I'm like, oh, you know, nobody ever picks up around here and it's always me picking up around here. And if I didn't do it, nobody would do it, you know. And does that sound like some of you? Yeah, okay. So, and God's like, just keep moving forward. And I'm like, I am. Do you see the clean floors? It just got ruined because somebody broke glass. And so anyways, it's just, and, you know, it's funny because I'm not kidding. In the past one day, just one day, my son has broken all the lids on my pots. And then my other son wanted something out of my little son's hand, so he hands him nail polish. So he takes something from his hand and hands him nail polish. Like, here you go, okay, bye, and takes off with his toy. What happens, Titus gets mad because he's a cobra, and he throws the nail polish on the ground, and it goes everywhere, and of course, it's my favorite color that I can't find anywhere else, so it's just been, it's never dull in my house, and all I keep hearing is, keep moving forward. And so I just started to look into it, and I said, okay, Holy Spirit, obviously, you're trying to tell me something, and he's like, not just you, but the girls. When you get a chance to preach, this is what I need you to preach. And so I started to just really ponder on it, study on it, and get it into my spirit. And the Lord just started to say, a lot of times you want to stop, you want to quit, you want to give up, you want to stay stagnant, you want to stay lazy, you want to be complacent. And God is saying that is not who I have created you to be. You're not allowed to stay stagnant. You're not allowed to be complacent. This isn't something that is an option for us as women in the kingdom of God. It's easy for us to get discouraged. It's easy for us to say, well, I'm done. How many times have you done? I am so done. I am so done with this marriage. I am so done with these kids. I am so done with that crazy teenager. I am so done with these bills. I'm just done. I've had it up to here. And God just says, well, who gave you the option to be done? Because I've told you to keep moving forward, and you can do it with me. And so he just began to minister to me. And so we're going to get into the Word today. But before we do, let's go to God, and let's just pray and ask him to be with us, okay? So, dear Father God, we just love you, and Lord, we praise you as your girls, God. We are here to be with you today. So, God, speak to our hearts, renew our minds today, God. I pray that no woman that came in this room would leave the same today, God. And I ask that you would touch our hearts, that you would minister to us, that you'd equip us, that you'd fill our hands with something that we can run out into the world with and be the saints and the women of God that you've asked us to be. And Lord, just speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, wear me well. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I found this poem and I thought it was amazing. The author is unknown and it's called Don't Quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems uphill, when your funds are low and your debts are high, when you want to smile but you have a sigh, when the care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but do not quit. Life is tough when it's twists and it's turns, and every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about, but he might not have won if he'd stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint, inflating, flattering man. Often the struggle has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of a cloud of doubt. You can never tell how close you are. It may be near or it may seem far. So stick to the fight when you're with your hardest hit. It's when these things seem worst that you mustn't quit. And listen, girls, I know. It's good. It's a good poem. Huh? I wonder who wrote it. But God is saying to us, stop for a second. Take a deep breath and keep going. Because life is going to come at you. You're going to have those teenagers that are going to want to pick the choices of this world, and that's going to be heartbreaking to a mama's heart. You're going to have young adults that are going to be making decisions, women. How many of you got young adults in the house, and you're hoping they just do the right thing for the love of God? Please choose God. Listen, you keep praying. You don't give up. You don't stop believing for them just because they're adults. Listen, some of you are struggling in marriage right now, and you're going, I am done. I'm calling it quits. I can't fight anymore. I can't struggle anymore. I can't be beat up anymore. And now if you're physically getting beat up, that is another issue. Please talk to one of the pastors. But if you are just having a hard time in your marriage and you're saying, I'm exhausted, then God is going to talk to you today. If you're struggling, maybe you're struggling with homosexuality in here, and you go, not church. Oh, yeah, please. I hope they come to church and hear the word of God. I hope that they find out that God loves them and that there's something that you can do about what God has got for you in your life and the future that he holds for your destiny. Listen, don't stop. If you know something's not right in your life, don't quit. Run to the kingdom. Run to the throne of God. That's where your answers are. And so you say, well, how do I keep moving forward, Pastor Jess? I don't know how to keep moving forward. I've been lazy for so long. I've been stagnant for so long. Maybe you're complacent. Maybe you're just comfortable. Maybe life is good. Maybe things are just really cozy and, you know, the kids are doing well and the husband is doing well and you finally got your house and you finally got the job. Watch out. Because anytime you're comfortable, that's when the enemy likes to mess with you. And that's when God also likes to change up your routine. Because we cannot stay complacent. We are no good to him if we're complacent. We are no good to him if we're lazy. We are no good to him if we are just doing our own thing and we forget God because it's so good, we don't really need God. Listen, make sure that you're not complacent, lazy, and make sure that when life is hard and maybe you're just sick of fighting, maybe you've gotten a bad report, and you're saying, Pastor, just this report is exhausting. My body is, I'm dying. They're telling me I'm dying. I'm feeling like I'm dying. Listen, keep moving forward. Don't listen to the report of men, but listen to the report of the Lord, because he has something for you today. So how to keep moving forward when you don't know how? Number one, you guys got your pens out, your papers and your Bibles? You guys, this is women's Bible study, so bring your Bibles, okay? Write it down, get it in you, so when life comes at you, what happens? It comes up out of you and you can fight it, right? All right, number one, don't stop. So many times, it's easy to just stop. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've told my kids to do something. Nope, I'm not going to, Mom. I am just done. And you know what I do? I chase them with a stick and I say, all right, then I'll spank your butt. You want to do what I'm doing, I'll spank your butt. I feel like God is chasing you and saying, I'm going to spank your butt with the word of God because you are not allowed to stop. Get up. Quit being lazy, you women of God, and do what I've asked you to do. Stop being lazy. Do not stop and quit on me. When did I say it was okay to stop? When? Is it okay to stop when life sucks? Is it okay to stop when your husband just left you? Is life over? You think God didn't know that moment was coming and that he doesn't have a plan for you and a destiny to cover your butt? Because he does. He loves you more than that man loved you. Listen, don't stop. Don't quit. I was thinking about it. Who is the person in the Bible that never stopped and never quit when adversity came near and when adversity came at him? Paul the apostle. And so I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11:23. 2 Corinthians 11:23. Oh, don't you just love the word? Because you can get in it and you can say, okay, God, this is what I'm going through. Who went through it too? Because listen, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So your problem, your situation, somebody else has already gone through it many times. It's not a shocker to God. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11:23, we're going to start at. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes more measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Verse 24. For the Jews, 5 times I've received stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day, and I have been in the deep, in the journeys often, in perilous waters, in perilous robbers, in perilous countrymen, perilous Gentiles, perilous cities, in perilous wilderness, perilous sea, and among false brethren, weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst, fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Can you say that? You got it that bad? You've been shipwrecked 3 times? Beaten with rods? Listen, If he didn't quit for the kingdom, why would you stop? If Paul had been shipwrecked, beaten, spit on, cursed at, you mean to tell, these people didn't like him. Nobody liked Paul. It wasn't easy to be Paul. Paul didn't walk on the earth and be like, oh, I'm just so wonderful, everybody loves me. No. People didn't like him, obviously. They were coming after him. And you knew who didn't like him, number one, was the enemy. He knew his target. Listen, girls, don't be stupid and think you're not a target. You're a target. As soon as you said yes to God, you became a target to the enemy. And you go, oh, great, I should have stayed with the enemy then. No! Because you know what happens with that? Is, yeah, you stay with him, he messes with you, then he spits you out and takes you straight to hell with him. He don't care about you. It's a fight. It's a good fight of faith. So don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up. In 2 Corinthians 12, just turn the page a bit, 7 through 9, this is Paul still talking. At least I should be exalted above measure in abundance for revelations of the thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I exalt this measure. You see, Paul was saying, I was being buffeted. I was being hit. I was being buffeted. I was being buffeted. I was being buffeted. That means he was being hit. He was being beat up. The enemy came after him, one after the other, coming after him, coming after him. Maybe some of you feel that way. It never gets better. It's just so frustrating. If it's not one thing, it's something else. If this isn't happening, then that is happening. Listen, Paul was being buffeted and buffeted and buffeted and buffeted. But what did he do for the kingdom of God? He never quit on God. He never stopped on God. He never said, I'm done, God. This is too much for me, God. And if Paul, the example, could do this, you can do this because God is not a respecter of persons. He's not going to go put favor on Paul to get through these things and not on you. So don't stop. If Paul could do it, you could do it. Winston Churchill said, when you're walking through hell, keep walking. When you're walking through hell, just keep walking. I have a story. This is kind of a funner story after all that deepness, right? So we went to Mammoth as a family. And it was the last day and my parents had left and me and Luke, we were, like, totally bummed, like, we were crying. And my mom said she cried all the way home. Like, oh, we left them up there. We didn't stay with them. And we were crying. And so Luke's like, I'm really bummed. I'm just going to go fishing by myself. And so Stacy went with us. And Dan's like, well, let's map out a hike. I want to do, like, a little hike up to this place called Crystal Lake in Mammoth Mountains. So Luke and him had the map out, and they're looking at it. Luke's like, okay, see this little line? It means switchbacks. Now, do you guys know what switchbacks are? It's where you go, if you don't, they go up the hill like this, right? Switchbacks aren't good because you're climbing up a hill, okay? So Luke tells Dan, oh, this is a short hike, just a couple switchbacks, and then there's like a meadow. You could just walk straight with the kids. It'll probably be great. Now remember, she has a newborn. I have a 1.5-year-old, a 3-year-old at the time, and a 6-year-old, okay? So complaining city. All right, so I'm sitting here thinking, we're thinking, all right, we'll do it. Me and Stacy are down, we're good. So Stacy straps on baby Bjorn in her little baby Bjorn. His name is Bjorn. So she has him strapped on. I've got Titus, one of us had him, Micah and Chloe, right? We're ready, we're going. We're starting up this hill, and people are coming down the hill, and they're looking at me and Stacy, and they're like, wow, you guys are adventurous. And I thought, we looked at each other, we're like, why are they saying we're adventurous? And I'm looking at Dan like, this better not be bad, you know. Like. So we keep chucking along, and there's a picture of us. Isn't it gorgeous? Okay, so this is one of the millions of times we had to stop on the trip up. So this is us and the kids, Dan taking the picture, obviously. And there's Bjorn. See him? He's covered up because the mosquitoes were eating his forehead. So I know. Poor baby. Yeah, he's fine. So we're chucking up the hill, and I'm not kidding. My kids, they, you know, they're from the city. So they're like, when are we going to get there? Can we go? I want to go back. I'm so done. And we were just like, no, you can't stop. We don't know. And I kept thinking there's a meadow, right? I kept thinking we are going to get to the promised land. We are going. We are not stopping. We are going. So we're doing switchback. And I'm just looking at Stacy like, there is snow. I don't know where we're going. There ain't no meadow. Like, And we just kept going. And now, by the way, we have way past a mile by now. We have over a mile. This is not no little hike. So we get up to the snow, and I'm like doing anything in the world to keep these kids happy. Look at snow! Okay, so they start throwing snowballs at each other. They're like, it's so cold. I'm like, oh, God. So then, you know, then I start like, oh, let's find rocks that look like something. And Micah finds this rock like this big. And it looked like a tooth from a, he said it was from a dinosaur. Mommy, can you carry it? Can you carry it for me? I want to take it home. And I'm like thinking anything to keep him happy. So I'm like, let's hide it behind the bush. We'll come back for it on our way down. So I'm thinking we're right there. So me and Chloe have this conversation. She said, Mom, I'm done. I want to stop. Can we go back? I'm done. Like, this is too much for me. Da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, and in my head, all I'm thinking is, I can't stop. Something inside of me is like, I will not give up. I will not quit. You're coming with me, kid. So, and I'm like, you don't know, Chloe. We could be right there. It could be right there. So I'm just trying to be like Mrs. Positive, you know, with Chloe. And Dan is just not saying anything because he knows he's in the doghouse because he just totally lied to us. And so Dan's just like, I'll carry all the kids, you know, like, did he not carry everybody? So then we start doing piggyback rides, and we're like, all of us are, and now I'm looking at Susie going, I know why we're adventurous. Like, so we get to the top of the mountain, finally. I think it was like, what, 2 hours? Like, switchback. Chloe's like, I hate switchbacks! Like, she totally knew what they were at the end of this trip. So we get to the top of the mountain, and if you go there, this is me, because she's crabby, and this is what we see. And I'm like, Chloe, don't you see the beauty? This is what we would have missed if we wouldn't have come. And so, and then this is the beautiful view that we got to see. It was over 9,000 feet high. Isn't that gorgeous? And the picture doesn't do justice on the screen. But, and there's something called golden trout. Stacy told us that past 9,000 feet, they have something called golden trout. And Micah just thought that was so cool. He's like, I'm going to find some golden trout. And then when we came down the hill, it was way faster. It was like only like 40 minutes probably to get down the hill. It was way better. But I'm so glad we did not stop. Because we would not have seen this beautiful creation that God put in the mountains just for us to gawk at his beauty. And then at the end of it, my kids did say their favorite part of the trip was hiking. So you never know. So push through. Don't give up. Don't quit. If you're going through hell, keep walking. Point number 2, don't look back. Let me tell you, on that trip, I could not look back because I was like, where is the end result? Like, I don't see where we're supposed to be going. I'm looking forward. I don't see where we're going. I'm looking back. I don't see where we're going. You know what I had to do? I had to ask Daisy. I was telling the kids, just say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm like, Mrs. like chanting verses at them. I'm sure I was so annoying. But I don't care because it was the only thing that could get us to the top of the hill. You don't want to be stuck in the middle of a hill. Your situation, you are sitting there and you're on a landing. Don't give up. Hope for a meadow. There may not be one, but there might be a beautiful lake at the end of it. And you never know. Whatever you were hoping for, God's going to give you better and more than what you expected. So don't give up and don't look back. Number 2, do not look back. In Genesis 19, this story is amazing to me. Sodom and Gomorrah was going on, and there was a lot of bad stuff going on there. So God sends the angels to come down and tell them to get out. Get out. Don't look back. Don't look back is what the angel said. Genesis 19, 17 through 26. And I'm going to start in verse 17. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Do not look back. Do not stop anywhere. Go for the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away. But Lot, so they're talking to Lot. And Lot says, no, my lords, please. My servant has found favor in your eyes, and I've shown great kindness in sparing my life, but I cannot flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Look, here is a town near enough for me to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? And my life will be spared. So the angel said to him, very well. I will grant you this request too. I will not overthrow this town you speak of, but flee quickly because I cannot do anything until you reach it. And then verse 23, by the time that Lot reached Zoar, Zoar. The sun had risen over the land, and the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those things that were living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Can you imagine? She became a pillar of salt. She looked back. She just couldn't get that curiosity out of her. She just couldn't do what God asked her to do. Just had to do my own thing. I had to look back. I had to go there. It took her life. And I'm sure there were casualties because of it. Lot didn't have his wife anymore. Their kids didn't have a mom anymore. Listen, don't look back. Look forward. Keep going forward. Do not go back. Do not go back. Do not look back. Don't look back on the whole woulda, coulda, shoulda thing. How many times have we done that as women? Oh, I would have, if I would have done this. I could have done this, and maybe I should have done this. Stop. What's done is done. Keep moving forward. Don't go back and live there. Stay where you're at and go forward. Do not go back. Do not try and look back at the good old days. Oh, the good old days. Those good old days. Yeah, you know what? If you went back to those good old days, you'd be like, oh, man, that sucked. I forgot about that. Forgot about that. You only remember the good stuff about the good old days. But honestly, there were stinky things that happened in the good old days, too. So don't go backwards. Go forwards. In Luke 9:62, can you guys turn there? Luke 9:62. But Jesus said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I don't know about you. I don't know where you want to be in your life. I don't know if you have this passion and this desire to be with God at the end of this life. I love what Paul says, to die is gain, because you get to go be with the King. You get to be with him. You don't have to live on this earth in the sin, in the hell, in all this drama, but you get to go be with God. You get to rejoice over him daily. You get to be with him on a daily basis. I don't know about you, but I long for that. There are days that I think about, oh, Lord, just to be with you at your feet. Just to be with you at your feet. But if I looked back and I said, oh, gosh, you know, maybe I'll go dabble in that again. Because when you look back, you take your eyes off your focus. You take your eyes off the King. You take your eyes off where you're going. And when you turn around, you don't know where you're going. You know, it's so funny. When I'm driving in my car with my kids and they're bugging, or they've dropped something, or something happens, you're driving, and you turn, hey! Most of the time, if you turn back around, your car is going like this, because you just go where you're turning. Listen, you're on course. You're going a direction. If you look back, you're going to turn yourself in another direction. You're going to end up where you don't want to be again. You're going to end up, and you're going to go, how did I end up here? What happened? I was just talking to somebody about their life and the journey that they're on, and it's a really hard one, and they're working through some things in their world. And they said to me, yeah, you know, this is just a one-time thing. I don't know how this happened. I was asking my therapist, how did I get here? And I thought to myself, okay, well, let's see what the therapist said. So I listened to the response the therapist said, and it's very practical, very practical. But then I was like, okay, now listen, you know I'm a big mouth, so don't talk to me about this stuff. I'm not going to not say something to you. You opened doors, and you allowed a little in at a time, and then all of a sudden when something big came at you, you weren't able or strong enough to fight against it, and so you failed again. And that's why. Not because you thought that that was a better road. No, because you let things in, and until you choose to realize that you went down the wrong path again, and you open those little doors at a time, then you won't change. You won't be back on the straight with God. Listen, guys, turning back and looking back will open doors that you don't want to go through again. Those doors have already been shut for you by the kingdom. Those doors have been done, locked up. You don't have to go back in them, but you can choose to go back. You can. And the saddest part about it is that everybody connected to you in your world will have to go back with you. Don't look back. There's too much at risk. There's your kids' lives at risk. There's your life at risk. There's your husband's life at risk. Don't go back. Do not look back. Lot's wife could not get it out of her. Oh, she's curious, but I'm just curious. just curious what it could have been like. I'm just curious. What if I went down that road, what would it have been like? I asked myself that question the other day. And it was Dan and I just talking about how much we love each other and just how amazing, you know, he is to me. And he was talking about how I am to him. And we were just kind of loving on each other. And I said, and we were talking about our kids and just how in love with our kids we are. And it was a moment. And I said, Dan, what if we would have never been together? What if we would have never, like, chose God and served God and then God brought us together supernaturally? What? This wouldn't be. This wouldn't be. We wouldn't have this love. We wouldn't have these beautiful children. It wouldn't even be. And I looked back for a second and I got scared. There was something in my spirit like, why even go there? Why even go what if? And that's when the Holy Spirit told me, don't look back, Jess. Don't look back. Look forward. Because this is what it is. You are with him. Your kids are blessed and anointed. Go for it. And Dan was like, I don't even want to think about that. I'm like, you're right. I don't want to even think about that either. Because it was bad before I served God. And I don't want to go back to that. But so many of you, listen to me, are allowing doors and little things to come into your world and creep in. Maybe you're getting lazy with reading your word. I'm going to start little here. Maybe you're going to just have one beer. One beer a week, you know, not a big deal. One glass of wine a week. And then it turns into two. Then it turns into four. Then it turns into six. And all of a sudden, that alcoholism that you thought you overcame is right back in your face again. You guys got to raise a standard in your homes of righteousness. That means you can't go backwards. It's not an option for you and your family. Just like Lot's wife, she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. God's not messing around. I wouldn't mess around with God. She did. She didn't take him at his word. Do you take God at his word? When he says, let's read it again in Luke. Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Put him to his word. Go backwards. Try it. Try it. You're going to end up in hell. Stop messing with God. Don't go back to your old things. Don't look back. Don't go there. Number three, keep your eye on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. You know, when we were climbing up that hill, I just kept looking at the top of the hill going, I don't even know where the top of the hill is. I can't tell if it's there or there, because when you're on the side of the hill, your perspective is humongous and there is no end to it. And that might be where you're at. You might be on this hill going, I'm here and I don't see an end. I don't see how this is supposed to play out. I don't see where I'm supposed to be going. I don't understand, God. You're telling me to do this, but there's no answers. I'm not getting what I'm supposedly supposed to get. And God says, stop it. When I started praying and when I started telling my kids we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, I stopped looking at the top of that hill and trying to figure out where it was. I stopped trying to figure it out on my own. And I began to realize, you know what, we're just going to do this. No matter how long this is, we're going to finish this. We're going to do this. And it was almost like a lesson for me to teach my kids. We're going to do this. And it was good for me too. Because we made it to the top and I was so proud of us. I was so proud of it. You don't want to get almost to the edge of the hill and then run and turn back and go down the hill because you took your eyes off. Hello? Didn't that happen to Peter when he walked on water and Jesus said, come to me? He walks on water. He looks back. He falls. Hello? He took his eyes off the one who allowed him to be able to walk on water. What are we doing as humans? What are we doing as women of God? Because we always can do it our own way, right? Because we're moms and we're super moms and we can do everything. We can make sure our husband has what he needs and our kids have what they need and we can fix it because that's what we do well. Listen, girls, you cannot do anything in your own ability. And God is saying, focus and look at me. And when you don't know what to do, pray. When you don't know what to say, pray. When things are coming at you, pray, focus, look at me. In Philippians 3:14, it says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the prize. That doesn't mean that we just sit around and we don't do anything and we get the prize. How many times have I sat at a dinner table with my children And I just heard that health class, and I am so on it. I feed my kids healthy. And there's, like, soybeans, and there's, like, stuff in front of them, and fish, and all, and they're like, I am not eating that. I'm like, all right, don't eat it. Die. Because as long as you live in this house, you're going to eat healthy, because mama is convicted about your heart and your life, physically and spiritually. So then I start explaining to them why broccoli is good for them, how it's good for your heart, and how the almonds are actually good for you, and da-da-da-da-da. And Mike is right, oh, okay, I want to be healthy. And so Chloe still fights me. But we do it anyways. We sit there for 3 hours sometimes. 3 hours, not kidding. Think I'm joking? They get to eat cold fish. Gross. But now they just eat it. Last night I made it. They just ate it. I didn't even have to fight with them. And I push them. But they don't just eat it because I tell them to. They eat it because they don't get dessert at the end of dinner if they don't eat it. So listen, there's a prize for us if we run this race. We get to inherit the kingdom. God says he's making mansions for us, that we are earning our way and loving God back to heaven. Listen, not just earning, you don't earn. I'm sorry, we don't earn our way to heaven. We love God back to heaven. We follow Jesus Christ. And listen, this walk of life is not always easy. But stay focused on him, because he's what's going to get you to the end. If you're feeling weary and tired and you're going, I just can't keep doing this anymore, then God says, you don't have to keep doing this anymore. I'm here. I've been waiting for you to get to this point so I can help you through it. You think Pam Espinoza, who just went through breast cancer and conquered it, Pam, were there not times you wanted to quit, stop, give up? I'm sure there were, but you kept your eye on the prize. You knew that Jesus was there. You knew what God said, and Pam is now free of cancer because of it. Listen, guys. Amen. Don't get your eye off the prize. Keep your focus. Know where you're going in 1 Corinthians 9:24, and then you can just look at the screens because it's in the New International Version. Do you not know that the race, all the runners run? Everybody runs. And one gets a prize. Run in such a way to get the prize. I want to be the one that gets that prize. You know, the Bible says that the road is narrow to the kingdom. I've always thought about that, and I thought, why is the road narrow? I mean, you think it'd be like the widest road in the world because everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Yeah, because a lot of people run the race, but then they pick off one at a time. The enemy picks them off. Imagine somebody running in a race, and all of a sudden, one gets pulled out. Oh, my cramps. I have side cramps. I can't keep going. I'm done. Oh, gosh, I'm just so tired. I just can't finish it. I'm going to just sit here on the side and give it a rest. All of a sudden, that is a very narrow and lonely road called Christianity. But listen, run towards the prize that you may obtain it. Because the ultimate goal of keep moving forward is to be with our King and our Lord Jesus Christ. That the sins and the ways of this world are nothing to us, because we just throw it off like it's nothing, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I know what the enemy's trying to put on my kids, but I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. They are restored back to life. And listen, God has a plan for each of you. But until you start running in this race to win, you're wasting your own time. Don't get in a race to not run and to win. Don't just say, oh, well, it's good enough for me to just be in the race. No. Get in the race to win. Don't be lazy. Don't be complacent like we talked about in the beginning. Jeremiah 39:18. I love this. If you're in a hard time, this is what God says. For I will surely deliver you. You shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. Your life shall be a prize to you. How many of you are not enjoying life? Just not enjoying it. I'm here, struggling all the time financially. I'm fighting with family. I'm fighting with friends. I just never can get it. Just never. I just never can obtain it. God says, that's not what I have for you. If you put your trust in me, your life will be a prize to you. it will be something that you can have a conversation like Dan and I did the other day. We're like, God, Lord, we're just overwhelmed with your goodness. But listen, I put my trust in God. It's not easy, guys. It's not always easy. You think I don't get the bills in the mail? I do. You think I don't get the bad reports? I get them every single second of every day. I'm a pastor. I hear the worst of the worst, the most heartbreaking of the heartbreaking. And what do I have to do? Right away, I have to turn around. Nope. God can heal them. Nope. God can restore that. Nope. I'm not going to listen to what the enemy says. I have to get myself back in faith on a constant, 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 constant minute by minute day. Listen, if I can do it, you can do it. Put your trust in the Lord so that your life will be a prize. Smith Wigglesworth said, there is great destructive force that comes upon us when we start comparing ourselves in the flesh with what we could be spiritually. We should never compare. We are what we could be, because we will always be down on ourselves when we do this. Just look to Jesus and what he is. As long as we look to Jesus, we will go toward him. We will look at our inferiority and we will go toward it. So you have a choice. You will always be the first to beat yourself up, right? You can look in the mirror right now and I could say, what do you not like? And we would, first of all, we'd go, oh, I don't like the dark circles, or oh, I don't like this, or oh, I wish my boobs weren't saggy, and oh, I wish my little face was a little tighter. And we always could find something wrong with us girls. We're women. That's what we do, right? Where men, they look in the mirror and they're like, ooh, I look good. It's so weird. I'm like, really? You don't look all that great. Like, you're a guy. You do the same thing with your hair every single day. Like, there's no change. I can curl it. I can braid it. I can do whatever. Listen, look at the brighter side of life. Look to Jesus Christ, because when you do, you will stay on that path to being forward. You will not go back. You will not get off course. You will be able to get yourself out of your lazy rut. You will not be allowing yourself to be complacent. You will not allow yourself to be just in this dreary spate of, oh, well, you know, life's good, I guess. Come on, when is that okay? You should always be pressing towards something. If you today in this room are like, I don't really have anything that I'm believing God for. Scary. You need to get alone. You need to get in the face of God. And you need to say, what is it, God, that you need me to get in faith for? And listen, it doesn't have to be about you. It could be about paying off our church. Hello, have you gone to the throne for that? That'd be really nice if some of you could link up with us and believe in God for that. We, the pastor, shouldn't have to carry just that. Or how about all the people that are in the hospital dying on their deathbed, and you know them because they're your family members? Are you going to the throne for them on a daily basis? Are you believing God for them? I'm not saying you're not, but what I'm saying is if you're not, I hope to challenge you today. I hope to make you go, God, I need to really start moving forward. I've been just sitting here complacent, not going anywhere, not doing anything. I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm comfortable. God has not called us to be comfortable. God has told us to change. God has told us to get up, to press towards that prize. Don't take your eyes and your focus off him, because when you do, you will fail. Just like the person that I was talking to that went through therapy. Well, I just want to know why I went to that sin. Well, you open some doors. Girls, don't allow the doors to be open. You determine that. God gives you the tools to fight it off, but you are your own person. He gives us our own free will to get things right with him. So we're going to keep moving forward today. And how do we do that? Number one, we don't stop. You don't quit. You don't give up. You don't let up. Don't let up. Number two, don't look back. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like Lot's wife. I want to enter the kingdom of God. I want to have my hand on that plow, and God can trust me to drive it and to finish the job that he's asked me to do. Don't look back. Don't go there. Don't give the enemy room or place. Number three, keep your eyes on the prize. He is the prize. Jesus Christ is your answer. He's the one that will get you there. He's the one that will drive you there. He's the one that will push you through and pull you through. Don't give up. Don't let up, and don't let the world steal your joy. If you got something from God today, let's give him a hand. Thank you, Lord. I want us all to stand up for a second. Everybody stand up. We're going to just pray. I'm not going to ask for a raising of hands and all of that. This is you and God. Between you and God. No one else knows what's going on in your world. And honestly, we don't need to know. A lot of times you want to run to the pastors and ask for us to pray for you. This is your time with God. Your prayers are just as powerful than my prayers. But this is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and I want you to raise your hands, and I want you to release your life to God. And we're going to ask, first of all, for forgiveness, for complacency, of laziness in an area in our lives. Maybe think about something that you've been lazy, you've been complacent, you haven't pushed through or pressed through. We're going to, first of all, ask for repentance. We're going to ask for forgiveness for that. Then we're going to ask God to come in and feel that, to put a little fire under our butt and push us along the way. Because you may need a little fire under your butt, okay? All right. Well, dear Father God, we just love you. We are your girls. And Lord, first of all, we repent. We are sorry, God, for being lazy. We're sorry for being complacent, Lord. We're sorry for not believing you for something, Lord. For not stirring ourselves up in the faith. For not being the women you've called us to be. And so, God, we ask that you would forgive us first and foremost. And I'm going to give you 5 seconds to just talk to God about whatever that area was. Lord, take this. Lord, we ask that you'd wash us from it. And Lord, we ask for a little fire under our butts now. And God, we ask that you would help us. God, we ask for motivation. We ask for energy. Lord, we ask for blessing. Lord, we ask that you would put something in our hand, God, that we can make grow. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, and I pray over every woman in this room, that they will not go back, but they will move forward. That Lord, every step that they take will be anointed. Lord, that every step that they take, that they will hear your voice, and they will follow where you're guiding them. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that their lives would be an example for you. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, God, we are not going to look back, but we're going to keep our eyes focused on you. And Lord, we ask that you would guard our hearts from the things of the past that would draw us in, that would tear us from you. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus for strength to get through this. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would just bless each woman in this room. And God, I ask for favor on their lives. Lord, I pray that you would give them just a stirring in their heart when they're home. Lord, I pray that you'd stir them off that couch, get to church. And Lord, I pray that when they're home, Lord, that they put on some praise and worship music, Lord, and praise your name. And Lord, I ask that you would just give them a new passion to praise through the pain, praise through the trials. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that when they seek you, God, that you will find them. And that there would be a new anointing on their lives. And that there would be a new favor in their kids' lives. Lord, we pray that for protection over these families, Lord. I rebuke any sickness and healing that has come upon these households. And we as women in a company are joining together today to believe you for miracles, God. We pray that this year at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, that the women of the Rock will pray for each other. And Lord, that we will see miracle upon miracle upon miracle. Cancer, you have to go. In the name of Jesus, you cannot live. Finances, jobs, we ask for jobs. Lord, we pray for jobs. We pray for good jobs. Jobs that will provide for the families, God. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus for new places to live that are safe. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, God, that if there's somebody that needs a means of transportation, that you would open a door up, God. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, God, that family members will be saved this year, God. That no weapon formed against our family will prosper. And God, we pray in the name of Jesus for favor. And Lord, we are going to keep moving forward, Lord, so that every person connected to our lives will reap the benefit and the blessing that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for forgiving us for our complacency. And Lord, we ask that you would just continue to put a fire under our butts. And Lord, we will go running to the throne in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.